With your host, Ian Ferguson and Ricky Ventures. It's time for the STEM Dialogue, the podcast that exposes students to the world of science, technology, engineering, and math in a new light.
Hey, what's going on, world? We are back with you for another week of the STEM Dialogue. This is your host, Ricky Ventures, and I'm here with my co-host, Ian Ferguson. Ian, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's up, man? How's everything been? We ain't talked too much lately.
Oh, man, it's been a while, man. It's been a couple, a while for us is like a week, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, this has been a crazy last couple of weeks for me at work, just finalizing on a lot of reports and submitting a lot of different things. So I've been zoned out getting that stuff done, and then also getting geared up for this school year and getting the boys off to school. And
so you gotta tell me, man, how's Caleb, man? Last time we talked, it wasn't his first day.
That's right, man. He's doing great. He is doing great. The first day, you know, we got out to the bus stop and he started to pull like, hey, you know, I don't want to go. actually, let me back up. So the very first day, I actually took him to school because it was only like a gradual entrance day. And he didn't want to talk to anybody. He didn't want to sit next to anybody. He didn't want to say hi to anybody. And I kind of expected that. But then the second day was the first day he took the bus with everyone else. And he's sitting at the bus stop like, oh, man, I don't want to go. But then all his friends are at the bus stop that are in the neighborhood. So they just started talking and playing. And then next thing you know, we see him following them onto the bus. And that was it. That was it, man.
A lot smoother than you thought.
Yeah, a whole lot smoother. So I stayed home late. In the mornings for the first week, just to get him on the bus and make sure he didn't try to, you know, backfire or anything and, you know, completely just relapse.
Yeah.
So, but other than that, man, he is good to go, man. The boys are loving school and back on our school routine, man. That's what's been preoccupying my time over the last couple of weeks. But what about yourself, man? What you been up to?
Man, I have a very funny story. I had some family, I think I told you, I had some family members that got their DNA traced on Ancestry.com.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the past 2 weeks, man, we basically found out my mother has another sister. So she actually, my new aunt, she actually came in town from Philly this past weekend, along with a couple other family members, and they stayed the night over my house for the weekend.
Yeah.
So I got to meet her, and Ricky is crazy. I'm gonna send you a picture later, man. She looks exactly like my mother.
Wow.
It's so weird seeing like another person who looks just like my mother, you know? And then when she saw me, as soon as she got out of the car and saw me in person, she bust out laughing because I look just like her son.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and it's, you know what's crazy, Ricky? She's been living about 15 minutes away from her biological father her entire life in Philly and didn't know it.
Wow.
And one of her best friends, when she showed her best friend a picture of her biological father, who's my grandfather.
Yeah.
Her best friend said, oh, I see him come to the store all the time.
Wow.
So it's a small world, man.
Small world. I mean, but how many people can say that they, you know, spent a weekend meeting a new aunt, you know? And we're not talking about you're like 5 years old or, you know, you're talking about grown women, you know, that are with families that are meeting each other for the first time. And that's amazing. That is amazing. Well,
so I had to take her to Granny's.
Oh yeah,
I had to treat her to some good food in Baltimore, man. I had to.
Good. How'd they like it?
Oh, she loved it. Loved it.
Oh man, that reminds me. I need to get back over to Granny's. I gotta get back over to Granny's, man. Granny's is that spot, man. I haven't been there in over a year. Been there over a year, man. But yeah. No, that's good, man. That's awesome to hear. You know, it's a one big breaking news that we have to, you know, want to share with everybody this episode. This is gonna be our last episode for this season. And we're gonna be stirring up some things and bringing a nice fresh platform to everybody within the next month or two. And man, but I tell you, Ian, I wanted to real quick before we bring on our guests, and you guys can get man, you got in for a treat for tonight. But before we bring on our guests, just man, what's one of the biggest things, man, we could take away from these first? We've been doing this for almost two years, man, year and a half, almost 2 years, man. What's the first thing you could take away from this first phase of the STEM dialogue?
Something I can take away from it.
Yeah, it is. That is completely on the spot. I didn't even tell him. I didn't even ask that. Yeah.
that's a tough question. I would take away, man, two things. One, how easy it is to start something that you when you have an idea without overthinking it, just get going. And two, especially having so many different guests, man, from different backgrounds, how many people are out there that are willing to use their skill set to do something positive? Yeah. There's so many people out there, and I think we learned that a lot from the different episodes, man. And all it takes is someone to bring them together.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I learned, Ricky, that a lot of people are willing to help and are willing to do great things, but they don't want to lead it.
Yeah.
They don't want to take the initiative. They're going to wait for somebody else. And that's why I realized people like to do things through organizations instead of doing it on their own, especially you think about like community work and things.
Yeah.
But that's what I learned a lot, man. People are out there. The help is out there. The talent and skill is out there. We just got to, as a people, we just got to do a better job of collaborating.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and I would say, you know, exposure. Because, you know, I mean, this whole thing was, hey, exposure, exposure, exposure. And one thing I would say is that it benefited me by being exposed to what a lot of these people, guests that we had on the show were doing. You know, sometimes we met people from all over the nation, other countries, Canada. We have a guest tonight that's from not another country, but you know, definitely not in the actual United States. But you know, it's just meeting all these amazing people, like Ian said, and just seeing what they're doing, and just that exposure to what they're doing, showing that all the different possibilities, all the different walks of life, but the overall common theme of, hey, you know, we want to share and inspire the world and the people coming behind us and show them that, hey, we've done it, we're normal people, and that, you know, all it takes is just a little effort and a little work and just believing that you can do it. So, yeah, stay tuned, because we will, I'll tell you, oh, man, the next phase of this is going to be phenomenal. It's going to be amazing, even better content that we're going to bring you guys. So to close this out, this is at the season out, we have a gentleman coming from Puerto Rico. Now, here's the significant thing about this, guys. You know, we just went through these major hurricanes that rocked the United States, and not just the United States, but the islands around the United States and Mexico, the earthquake. And we have a gentleman on right now from Puerto Rico named Jerry Gableman. And he's just gonna share his story, his experience over this past week out in Puerto Rico, what he does outside of just the recent developments, and just a little bit about life where he is. So, Jerry, man, how you doing today?
Gentlemen, I am doing better than I deserve. I am doing awesome today. How are you doing?
Man, I love it. Better than I deserve. I love it. Dave Ramsey's on us.
That's
yeah,
right.
I love
right.
it. I love it. So, Jerry, man, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So, well, my father, I was born in New Jersey. And when my sister was born, we moved to upstate New York to a city called Binghamton, New York. My mother is actually from the island of Puerto Rico. And my father is an American Jew from Brooklyn, New York. And my father in 1980 more or less had problems with his heart. He had a bypass operation, and a doctor said, listen, you need to move to a warmer place if you want to survive the next 30 or 40 years of your life. So we didn't know anybody in the southern states like Florida or Georgia, but we knew everybody in Puerto Rico. So we just basically picked up everything and did a lateral transfer, and here we are.
Wow. Wow.
That's a long story short right there, fellas. So. A lot more in between that stuff, but we'll be here for a minute.
Oh, yeah. Wow. No, man. Hey, man, I wanted my doctor to tell me that, too, man. I love to relocate, man. You know, I probably wouldn't even, you know what? It's amazing because my thought would have probably never been to go to, Puerto Rico. I had a good friend that's from out there, but like you said, you know, originally go down to the southern states, but you brought out a good point. If you didn't have, you know, family and friends down there, you're pretty much starting from scratch. But you guys were able to go to a place where you at least had some families, relationships, and it was almost like you're going home, at least for the sake of your mother, is going home, and just really starting over right there in her hometown. So, man, that's amazing, man. That is amazing. Yeah, so, beginning.
So, Ricky, I met Jerry when me and Kobe went to Puerto Rico after I graduated.
Yeah.
And, you know, we like to do a lot of outdoor activities. So part of it was we wanted to do a tour for the rainforest out there and some other things. So Jerry ended up being our tour guide. And Ricky, let me tell you, man, Jerry is the most, not even just as a tour guide, he was one of the most energetic people I've ever met in my life. And I think I get to, that's what I'm liking to start traveling, man, because, you know, in Baltimore, it's like a non-written law. You don't really speak unless spoken to.
Yeah.
Out in public.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just look at somebody, nod, and keep moving.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry was like, "What's going on, guys? I'm Jerry." You know, he's running up, giving everybody hugs. So it was completely different than what I'm used to in Baltimore, you know? And I mean, it was like that the whole trip, Ricky, not even just for the bus ride, like the whole day.
Wow.
The entire day.
Wow.
It was great.
So,
yeah.
So Jerry, tell us what you do and how you do it and what drove you to give you that gave you that passion and want to do that and where you get your knowledge base from. Tell us, man, tell us a little bit more.
Oh my gosh, Ricky. So let me see. So being from upstate New York, I had an opportunity to live there when I was a child. I didn't really know about that area that much, but I knew that I was from there. Coming to Puerto Rico with no Spanish. My mother never talked to us in Spanish, so I get put into eighth grade public schools, no AC, and it is, you know, 90 degrees, man. And I'm sweating on top of my books and my, you know, writing down stuff, and I don't understand anything. For probably about 3 years or 4 years, it was a challenge for me to learn the language and understand what the teacher was teaching me, because I didn't really know what she was talking about. But anyways, long story short, I really hated it at the beginning, but it was something that was disguised for me. God had something for me in the future that I didn't know about. I was frustrated at the moment, but going forward, I mean, in my career, knowing English and Spanish has opened doors for me, gentlemen, that you have no clue.
Wow.
I mean, I'm probably not the brightest person that's been on this program, but I will tell you that the things that I have learned is because God has put me in places that I needed to be at the moment, and I learned from it, and I went forward. I went to school originally to become an electrical engineer,
okay,
and it didn't work out for me. I went back to school. I went to actually 2 years in college here in Puerto Rico, and I went back to school in upstate New York to finish my degree in business administration. I got a job opportunity working as what I was going to school for, which was actually hotel and restaurant management. And I got a job here visiting on my parents one day. I got a job at Ruth Chris Steakhouse here in Puerto Rico as a busboy, and it opened doors for me, and I started traveling through with the company through the United States of America, opening and rebuilding the training aspect of each one of the stores. So I did that for about 3.5 years, and then I became the food and beverage manager at different hotels here in Puerto Rico, and I did that for a couple of years, man. And what can I tell you? God has opened up other doors for me and this and that. Maybe about 4.5 years ago, fast forwarding everything here for you, so we're not here for like 2 hours. just going fast forward really quick, I met this gentleman he's a friend of mine. I've known him for about 25 years. He was a valet parker for one of the hotels that I was managing as food and beverage. And it's one of the things that you two were talking about earlier on the program that, I mean, if you have love for something, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. You gotta love what you do. Mm-hmm. And this man loved what he did, and he started a business 4.5 years ago. It had to do with tours and transportation. He offered me a job because he knew the type of person that I am. All I had to do was learn about more about what Puerto Rico is, the history behind it, the history of the Caribbean, of the slavery and all this other stuff, and apply it to my job. Long story short, I got my degree and I worked for that company. I opened up that company 4 years ago. Today, it's worth about $2.6 million, that company.
Wow.
And it just happened like July of last year, the same way that I met Ian. Now, it's funny that Ian was like, man, he was so happy to be with me. And I was so happy to be with Ian because today, after maybe about 2 years, we're talking again today on, you know, on this podcast, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But anyways, if you think of all the possibilities, gentlemen, of how many tour companies there are in Puerto Rico, the time that he picked to go out on a tour, and how many tour guides there are in Puerto Rico. And we ended up to be together that day about 2 years ago. And I'm, you know, and definitely blessed with having that man and everybody else that I've ever met in my whole life to be with me. Yeah. Anyways, July of last year, I get all these people, God sending me his angels saying, hey man, Jerry, you need to go on your own because I mean, you run this job or you run this business like you owned it, because I had, you know, I took pride in what I did and I loved what I did. But it was
you told me you took off work today just to do this.
Yeah, I took the day off from work, but you gotta, okay, so I didn't know that we were gonna get hit by 185 mile per hour winds from a hurricane, right? Honestly, I didn't even think that we were going to be on the line today, because it wasn't until yesterday that we got our electricity. And like I said before, half of this area, the town that I live in, doesn't have electricity. You know, and we're blessed right now that we're talking. So,
yeah.
Anyways, yeah. So, getting back to the story really quick. So in December of this year, or last year, I'm sorry, I started my own business. I am the proud owner of Jerry's Adventures, a tour company here in Puerto Rico. It's just, you know, and this is what I do, and I love what I do. And little by little, I'm touching people's hearts, touching people, and they're going back to the States, they're going back to different countries and talking about Jerry in Puerto Rico, and people come over here.
Yeah.
Ricky, you said earlier today during the podcast that, you know, Puerto Rico is one of those places, like, you're going to a, not literally a state, not officially a state, but you're going from, you know, for instance, Maryland to Minnesota, or from Minnesota to New York, or New York to Texas. You're going, and a lot of people, and I hope that this gets out to a lot of the listeners, because Puerto Rico is very, very accessible to a lot of people in the United States, and they don't know how easy it is to actually come here.
Yeah.
You know, because that's part of the United States.
Yep. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Here I am.
You know, I've always been jealous. I've always been jealous of the people that have gone, that have been close to Puerto Rico, and I have not been able to make the trip yet. My wife's been out there, I think, twice. You know, Ian turned around and said he went out there. I was like, man, I got to get out to Puerto Rico. I've heard it's a beautiful, beautiful island. And
It is.
But I guess we'll get. I already have my tour guide already in place, so
got it.
I'm set to go now. It was meant for me to go later, not earlier, so
yeah.
But go ahead, Ian.
Now, Jerry, you were telling me when you reached out to me maybe 2 months ago, you said you were talking about starting your own podcast.
I was thinking of is that you know, I want to pat myself on my back, because the glory is for God. You know, it's God's glory. What I do and the people that I touch and stuff like that, it's for him. It's not for me. And the thing is that I just want to try to find a way to get people, you know, knowledgeable to come here to Puerto Rico and say, hey, listen, you know, I'm here to help people find and make the correct decisions when they come here. You know, and I'm just, I just spoke to you really definitely out loud, and just, you know, wanted to get, like, you know, feedback from you and just see what, you know, what you thought about it. But, you know, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Oh, that's good, man. So, so tell us, I mean, one thing you said in your story, and I want to see how closely connected we are. When you say you came back to this, to the States for,
yes, sir,
for college, what college did you go to?
So I went to Broome Community College in upstate New York. It's in the city of Binghamton, where I
okay,
where
so you went back to Binghamton. You went back to Binghamton. Okay, okay. Yeah, I'm from New York. I'm from, where they say, they call where I'm from upstate, but Binghamton is real upstate. I'm from the more of the Hudson Valley area, in that Poughkeepsie area and stuff like that. So Binghamton is pretty far. Not that far, like an hour and a half from there. But yeah, that's upstate. But So tell us, man. We, you know, we just went through this horrific, man, events of it's hurricanes, back to back hitting Texas first, and then coming and hitting the islands, and then ending up in Florida. Man, tell us about your experience, because I can tell you my experience, and we want to stop real quick and just, you know, just really say, you know, our condolences go out to all the families that were affected by this hurricane. You know, there have been a few deaths. There have been a lot of families that have their homes are completely destroyed, that are homeless. There are a lot of people that are that don't have any food. So it's this thing was very drastic and horrific in a lot of the islands, you know. And we just want to thank God that you're safe, and that we're able to talk today.
Absolutely.
But tell us your experience, man. Tell us what it was like just going through that whole hurricane.
So, how can I put it? Puerto Rico. For, you know, for those of you that don't know where it's located, it's like in the between the larger of the Antilles or the greater of the Antilles, and then we are the largest island of the lesser or the smaller Antilles. The lesser, smaller Antilles or the lesser, smaller Caribbean islands were the ones that were affected. That hurricane is the largest hurricane recorded in the Atlantic Ocean in the history of hurricanes. We're talking about over 180 mile per hour winds. That I went through Hurricane Hugo back in 89, and we were hit by a Category 4, and the eye of the storm went over the rainforest and it destroyed everything there. And we were out without water for like about a month and a half without electricity. Wow. Everything was knocked down. I mean, I couldn't leave my house for 2 weeks because of all the land or mountain slides and dirt that was in, you know, debris. It was impossible. But anyways, you know, we kind of like had an idea of what to expect, but we didn't know what we were going to expect was a direct hit. That was what we were expecting. 185 mile per hour winds is nothing to joke about.
Mm-mm.
And after, you know, a day before, we still had internet and we still had electricity, and we were watching how devastating, and it didn't even reach it yet, and how devastating the Hurricane Irma just wiped out the Lesser Antilles. I mean, those people are coming to Puerto Rico right now because they have no place to stay.
Mm-hmm.
There's no walls up, there's no roofs up. I mean, it just devastated all of those smaller Antilles. So when it was 24 hours away from us, we're over here praying, you know, Lord, you know, please, what can you do for us? And right before it was going to hit us, it moved north and it missed us by 200 miles, but it still hit us. So we're still without electricity. I have no running water right now. And then once we got, you know, I have an electrical generator that we've been watching the news because my sister was in Florida, right in the middle of Florida, actually. And I saw how that hurricane just brushed Dominican Republic and Haiti. And then it just sat on top of Cuba for a minute and then just went to Naples and sat there for another minute and just, you know, slowly, 8 miles an hour. I mean, it's basically walking through Florida and just destroying everything there. So,
man,
I don't.
Man, I tell you, man, as you're describing it, man, I'm just visualizing. And you know, a lot of times we take for granted the times of peace. We take for granted times where, you know, we can get up and we have running water, or we can get up and we have electricity, we get up, we have food, we have shelter. We take for granted that we're actually able to get up from laying down on something that's comfortable. And, you know, to go through an event like this, it really is an eye opener, because it's like, you know, we can work our whole lives and we can try to build up all these different things and do all these different things. But at the end of the day, if everything was taken away from you, what would you be left with? You know, and that's why I look at it. And I had to tell my wife and my kids. I said, you know what, man, if everything got stripped away from me and I had you guys, I'm fine. You know, I'll be
that's
okay.
Right. That's right.
You know, and
absolutely.
You know, but a lot of times we can get so carried away with life and the busyness of life that we don't take time to appreciate these things that we have. You know, it's become the norm, the normal life. We're so busy, we're always doing this, we're always doing that, we're always distracted by this, distracted by that, watching TV, going here, going there. You know, it's all those things, rushing and all that. And it's like, man, if we could just pause and just really appreciate where we are in life, what we have, and just knowing that, hey, you know what really matters? You know, it boils down to, at the end of the day, what really matters, and focus our attention on the things that really matter in life, man. So I'm so glad, man, you, like I said, that you are okay. Not only you, but the island of Puerto Rico, that, you know, the storm shifted. And I mean, a lot of friends of mine that, you know, and communicating with them throughout this whole process, especially down in Florida, you know, you pause everything. I mean, you weren't thinking about going to work the next day. You weren't thinking about your vacation coming up. You weren't thinking about, oh, do I have this or I have that? No, all you were thinking about is, I have to survive, and I have to protect my family and protect the things that I have. You know, and it's like, wow, you know, at the end of the day, that's what it boils down to. You know, and so, yeah, man, so any listener that's out there, like we said, our condolences to those that have maybe had lost a loved one, or those that may have been hit head on or affected in any way by this hurricane. And we just said, like I said, our prayers are wish with you. We pray that that you gain everything back that you have lost and tenfold. But yeah. Thank you so much, man, for sharing that.
My pleasure.
Yeah. So, and I hate to shift it from this, but I wanted to get one or two more thoughts from you as to what you do in terms of your tour guide. Tell us, could you share with us probably one of the most interesting that you would think, or exciting attractions that that you know, present to people in PR?
I can answer that one.
Oh, go ahead.
Man, let me tell you, Riggy. He took us to a waterfall. It was two waterfalls in the rainforest that we passed.
Mm.
He took us to one. It wasn't a very tall waterfall, but it was deep. I think it was about 13 feet deep, Jerry. I can't remember. Yeah, I got good memory. So we actually got to jump and swim in the waterfall, Ricky.
Oh, wow.
About half of us actually got to swim under the actual fall, and there's like a little tiny cave behind it. So we would swim under it, get through there, and it's just the water falling like right in front of you. That was the best part for me.
Everybody Ricky asked me, you know, what's the name of this waterfall, and I'm like, it's called Ian Waterfall. They're like, waterfall. It's Ian's waterfall. This is the spot.
Yeah, I love that spot, man. I didn't want to leave.
Well, just to answer your question, because I know where you're going. You know what? I ask people exactly what they want to do, what they want to see. You know, every tour is different because every person is different in everything that they want to do and everything that they want to see. And I try to do exactly what they're looking for. You know, and I'll start a conversation with questions and try to get some feedback from some people and see what, you know, what they're interested in learning, what they're interested in learning about and seeing and stuff like that. And then I take it from there. But Puerto Rico has so many opportunities that you just don't know about. The waterfall at the rainforest is one opportunity, but we have waterfalls here, gentlemen, that it would blow your mind if you saw it. I mean, just it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. They're beautiful. So,
wow.
Yeah, there's wonderful opportunities here, definitely.
So, do you tour other areas other than the rainforest?
I do, but this is the thing, Ian. I try to, you know, it's hard to sell something that nobody knows about. Okay. So, for instance, to sell myself to people that don't know me, it's like, you know, oh, we don't know Jerry and Jerry Gableman. It's like that name doesn't sound really Puerto Rican, you know, and they start thinking about things. And what it boils down to is that if they give me an opportunity to show them, they're not going to be, I mean, they're going to be overwhelmed with happiness because I know what to do. Now, to sell something that people don't know about, it's kind of difficult. I could tell people, and after they get to know me, I could probably say to them, listen, we got to go to an area where I live because there's a waterfall that'll take all the waterfalls in the rainforest. And, you know, the waterfalls in the rainforest are okay, but I'm talking about something that is amazing in Puerto Rico. So, you know, things like that. So it's hard to, it's not that it's impossible. It's just that to teach people about new things, you just got to, you know, just got to work on it. That's all.
Yeah. No, that's awesome, man. Like I said, I would definitely.
Saw me again.
Yeah. I would definitely be making a trip out to Puerto Rico one of these days, and I got a lot of trips I'm lined up for, due for. So when I do make that trip out there, I will be hitting up Jerry and say, "Yo, Jerry, it's time, man. Do a couple excursions with you, and just really absolutely take in." You know, the island, and enjoy the island. So, man, no, but hey, Jerry, man, we just thank you so much for coming on this show with us today. Man, we always thank our guest, and you know, you're our special guest because this is our first, you know, season finale. You know, this is like we've been doing this for almost 2 years now, and you are pretty much bringing in the rear on this phase of the STEM dialogue. And we just want to thank you for all you've done. Like we said, we pray that everything goes well with you, as you guys, I know you mentioned that some people from other islands are coming over to Puerto Rico, that, you know, everyone is safe, that people are able to rebuild and get back on their feet and recover from this hurricane. So, like I said, Jerry, thank you so much for being on. And to the
STEM, it was a pleasure.
Absolutely, man. A pleasure was ours, man. And to the STEM world out there, we want to thank you again for being a listener and supporter of the STEM Dialogue. And we will see you next time at the same place on the STEM Dialogue. All right, everyone. Have a good one. Peace.
You've been listening to the STEM Dialogue. For more information and inspiration, check out rickyventures.com. The STEM Dialogue will return the same time next week. This has been brought to you by Ricky Ventures Enterprise.